Welcome to Learned Lag, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George and I are both in Zephyr A. This is season 32 for George and season 28 for me.
This is day 18 of season 100. Our first question asks, what river does the Thai-Lao friendship bridge between Nong Khai and Vientiane span?
So, the only river name I know in this region of Southeast Asia is the Mekong. I very much associate that with the Vietnam War, and just honestly, I'm sure reading something about that is where I heard the name. And truly, I can't picture the geography. I was fully prepared to get this one wrong, but at least I wouldn't have put down, you know, the Mississippi, and sounded like I didn't know about anything in the world. So, really, the Mekong was the only one that was going to come to mind. You know, I could have considered other Asian rivers, but I felt like this one was at least likeliest to be nearby. Mm-hmm. So I put down Mekong.
Yeah, same, basically. I initially figured, okay, Southeast Asia, I know the Mekong is there. I know the Mekong was important in the Vietnam War, which, you know, was at least adjacent to Laos and, if not Thailand. Mm. I kind of thought, well, wait, what if it's some other river? And I thought, well, it can't be that major of a river because that's a long-ass peninsula. And how many major rivers could there be down one peninsula like that?
Sure.
So could it have been something else? Yes, but I feel like it couldn't have been one of the famous ones, like the Yellow, the Yangtze, something like that, because, you know, those are big enough rivers to have presumably subsumed anything else if they were also there.
Right.
You know, like you don't hear about a lot of other rivers around the Nile because that's where all the water is going.
Yeah.
So that was me hydrologically ignorantly justifying this is the only river in that area I know. And I also said Mekong.
Happily, that was the correct answer. Oof. Question two asks what acclaimed TV show had one of its most excellently reviewed episodes on September 15th, 2003, an episode titled Ozymandias.
2013.
Excuse me, 2013.
In fact, and it points out that it was the third to last episode in the fifth and final season of the series, so it was very near the climax of whatever this series was. And my first thought was Breaking Bad. And then I kind of had to make that fit into the rest of the question. Did Breaking Bad end in late 2013? That sounds about right, because I missed like the beginning of Breaking Bad because I was overseas for five seasons. So it would have been starting like 2008, maybe a little earlier. I know there were always like strikes and such going on that you can't make a one-to-one on what years shows were on the air anymore.
Right.
So I had to catch up on it. I caught up on it much later. And then I had to kind of do some extra math and figure, okay, I know Better Call Saul came after that. Better Call Saul has six seasons. I'm currently watching that. I'm in the last, I think the last half of the last season. So I had to figure, okay, six seasons. So that's like another 6 or 7 years worth of TV. And I know it started a few years later. Like, they didn't immediately go into it. Like, it wasn't like Frasier started right after Cheers. Like, I feel like there was a little bit of time when there was no, between Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul airing. Mm-hmm. So Better Call Saul ended just like within the last couple of years. So minus two, minus 6 or 7, yeah, 2013, 2014-ish. Okay, yeah, the math all checks out on that. The rest of it just didn't help me, but I figured and also Ozymandias fits right in with the titling schema of Breaking Bad, which was often just kind of one or two words that related very directly to the plot, but that weren't like super obvious. Like Like, all the Friends episodes titles were literally the one where Ross breaks up with Rachel and stuff like that. But with Breaking Bad, it was much punchier and much more direct, even if only in retrospect. So this is all a very long way of saying I think it was Breaking Bad. I wasn't certain.
Sure.
But I was more certain than I would have been of any other show that I would have thought of. So we'll go with Breaking Bad.
Yeah, for my part, I had a similar line of thinking, mostly relying on the timeline that's kind of framed out here, with, you know, 5 seasons finishing towards the end of 2013. And Ozymandias just kind of struck a chord with me as far as sounding like something that related to Breaking Bad. Like, I probably caught a glimpse of that in passing. I've watched a couple of seasons of Breaking Bad and somehow have not finished it, I don't think. Or maybe I did. Maybe I'm confusing it with The Wire, which is another show that I kind of had to check against, you know, thinking about this. And I just didn't think that The Wire, first of all, I think had 3 seasons.
5, I believe.
Did it have 5? Okay. But I don't recall the Ozymandias thing really being associated with it. And so the part about the opening credits not appearing until 19 minutes into the episode sounded kind of familiar for Breaking Bad too, like that sort of whole, what is it? Is it mise-en-scene where you kind of just jump into the action and it's...
In medias res.
In medias res, thank you. And that kind of fit with my memory of the show's aesthetic, you know, filming-wise. And so just kind of, you know, essentially piecing together these contextual clues without, I don't think I've actually, like I said, seen the entirety of the series. I also put down Breaking Bad.
And that was correct.
Yay.
Question 3 asks us for an independent candidate for president in 2020. Says he was a musician and got about 70,000 votes.
Right. And so this is where I backtrack a little bit and say that when I first opened the questions today, I was just dismayed entirely, thinking, oh, I don't know about this geography thing. And then I'm supposed to go back and remember 2020 in this little, you know, blip in the election cycle that was so dominated by, you know, just this highly dramatic contest. And then, you know, and looking further down, I was like, I got to think of film character names. And I don't remember who was, you know, what people were nominated for Best Actress and on and on. Then I came back to it after our morning walk and I had kind of like done my, I did some of my stretches that I do sometimes when my joints aren't feeling, you know, are feeling like they need it. And I came back to this one and just laughed because, I went, oh, this is about Kanye West. It was just hilarious that he did this at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly less so when we retroactively remember that it was probably all part of psychiatric problems that he was having. But, you know, not everybody who has psychiatric problems runs for president on the platform of being a horrible person. So, yeah, I just, initially when I read this question, I thought, oh man, is it like a country singer who's doing some sort of protest candidacy? Like, is this Willie Nelson? Is this his, like, you know, conservative equivalent of, you know, some other crotchety old guy doing this? And thankfully, taking the walk, clearing out the working memory, leaving this to sit for a while, apparently got those circuits going again where I remembered just the ridiculousness of spectating that campaign and knowing that Kanye West had thrown his hat in the ring.
Yeah, kind of the same here. I had to let it percolate and eventually I did it by another tactic that I sometimes use, which is coming up with an answer that I know is incorrect. but that I can compare to, okay, this, there is an answer shaped hole in my brain. This doesn't fit it. Why doesn't it fit it?
Mm.
It's kind of the mental equivalent of, you know, how do you carve an elephant out of a block of marble? You cut away everything, doesn't look like an elephant.
Right.
So the one that I used for this was, did Kid Rock run for president? No, Kid Rock didn't run for president. Kid Rock wouldn't have, because he's such a Trumpist. But there was another musician who did. It wasn't Kid Rock, because no, it was a rapper. It was a rapper of some renown. Was it Jay-Z? It was Kanye. It was Kanye West. And I was walking out of the dining room, I think, to get something for breakfast, and thought of it and snapped my fingers and turned back around and came back to my computer and typed it into the answer block, and because I'll just have a tab open with it kind of all morning.
Sure.
And then went to get my banana. So yeah, I was dead certain that it was Kanye eventually.
And that was the correct answer. What was I going to say about that? I've lost it.
Okay.
I'm going to edit this part out. moving on to question four. I do remember what I want to say, which is that is a really interesting technique, and I'm not sure I've heard you describe it before.
I use it rarely. It's really one of those ones where I absolutely know that I know this.
Yeah.
And I just can't grab it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can, mm-hmm. I can figure out what it ain't.
Right.
So
I like it though.
Yeah.
That's really
creative thinking. It doesn't always work. Sometimes it leads me down a very wrong path that I know is wrong. But sometimes it'll trigger the correct neurons to fire.
So just to be used in those specific circumstances where you know the answer is there.
Yeah.
And you can kind of process of elimination.
Yeah, it's never going to get me a 19th century female French artist, but it might get me this a-hole who was in the news a lot 4 years ago.
Yeah. All right. Now I can move along happily to question four, in which we are asked to name one of the three characters appearing in Kate DiCamillo's two Newbery Medal winning books.
One a heroic mouse, and two of the other ones a girl or a squirrel. This one kept me out of our living room for the entire morning because I felt like we might have had one of these books and I didn't want to accidentally see it and deprive myself of this question.
Right.
So I felt like I wasn't going to get the girl and her squirrel. Absolutely was not going to get that. All I could come up with on that was Squirrel Girl, which I knew was not it.
Yep.
And so I was concentrating on the mouse, and I could see the cover of the book. And for a while I had, and once I realized that, no, I was thinking of the cover of Redwall.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. But I felt like I could still see the cover of the book, kind of a frame around it. Sort of an earth tone sort of room and a mouse posing heroically. And it was something kind of vaguely French was the name of the mouse. And I felt like there was a cue in there somewhere, like roque, rick, rack. And I kept bouncing on taqua, take, sack, soak, Roque just kept coming back. Roquefort? Roquefort. That would be amusing because it's a cheese. You would name your mouse after a cheese. Sure.
Mm.
Roquefort. That sounded correct. It wasn't really landing, but I couldn't come up with anything else. So I finally just said, Roquefort. That sounds like a heroic mouse name in a story. I will go with that.
Yeah. So this one, sort of unusually, I feel like a lot of times I end up saying, yeah, I had kind of a similar thought process there. this one, not at all.
Yep.
I had read I believe, New Yorker profile of Kate DiCamillo and several months ago, I think, but I feel like maybe in summertime. But anyway, that stayed with me enough to at least set down in my memory that she was the author of The Tale of Despero, and that was the mm-hmm. mouse book. Yep. I couldn't remember a dang thing about the girl and the squirrel. I think I'm sure the title of it appeared in that, or I had run across it otherwise in, I don't know, looking at the Scholastic Book Fair flyer or whatever, seeing it in the bookstore. Mm-hmm. And so I was pretty certain about Despero being the mouse. I did have a little qualm about it because I knew there was, you know, some other book out there, and I didn't think, I think I realized after the fact, after I answered the questions, that Redwall was the series that I was thinking of, a series of books that I could not get into, by the way. My dad got me one time, and I think maybe partly I was just a little too old. I think I was a teenager by the time he happened to pick that up for me. But anyway, that at least resolved the mystery of, like, what was that qualm at the back of my mind about it. But at the same time, I was, you know, it really, you know, was ringing the correct bells or tones or whatever you want to call it. And so I put down Despero.
And that was correct.
Yay.
The girl and the squirrel were Flora and Ulysses, which yes. rings a bell now that I've seen it.
But yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's in that, that book came out, as the question says, in 2014. Mm-hmm. And that is the year before our youngest daughter was born. Mm-hmm. So it's right in the gap of, like, yeah. was any of our kids going to be reading that particular story?
Yeah.
Apparently
right. not. Yeah, right at the age that it would have been aimed for the elder twain, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, not a thing that necessarily we would read to them.
Yeah.
Being sort of, I think it's kind of tweenery.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I think they are. I think those are books that kids will read themselves more than mm-hmm. be read to. I could be wrong, but.
And these are, novels, correct? They're not.
I believe so. I don't think they're picture books. Yeah. I don't think they're picture books. Yeah.
So, yeah, it might be another couple years before we try them out on the youngest kiddo.
Yeah. And I just mean, like, she may and the older kids may have read them independently. Like, maybe. They might have been the kind of things that are found in school libraries.
Oh, yeah.
That kids love, but aren't necessarily read, that we would not necessarily have read to them.
Yes.
As such, so they wouldn't have set in our memory as much.
Right.
Question 5 asks us what the ML stands for in HTML, XML, and some other stuff, while throwing us off by pointing out that the original GML was not named this.
Yeah, this is really a trivia question that seems to have been written just to be an excuse to give us this fun fact at the beginning, that GML was named after its developers, Goldfarb, Mosher, and Laurie. And thank goodness that we were not asked about any of them in any greater detail, because I wouldn't know anything. But we were asked for the ML in such systems as SGML, XML, HTML. And one of the things that I've set down about, you know, URLs and things is that HTML stands for hypertext markup language. Mm-hmm. And so markup language is what I put down. I was so relieved to get to the end of this one and be like, oh, something I definitely know without having to ponder over it excruciatingly for 3 hours.
Yep. XML in particular is an acronym that I have to spell out every now and then. In my capacity as a technical writer, because it's a language that we use in some of our products and therefore in our documentation. And so we have to unabbreviate it sometimes on first reference. And now as soon as I say that, I've forgotten what the hell the X is for. Extensible, maybe? I think it's extensible.
Sounds right-ish.
But it's definitely a markup language.
Yes.
So that's what I went with.
And that is the correct answer. Question 6 finally asks us for the shared first name of two characters that were played by Kristen Stewart and Annette Bening, and both of them were nominated for Best Actress.
this one was, like many of the others today, one that on first run through, I was just like, ugh. Mm-hmm. Award ceremonies, I'm not great at.
1,000%.
And in particular, much like artists, one of my main deficiencies is actress, female actor awards.
Mm-hmm.
This is largely because I am a sexist man. But on the other hand, it is also largely because nominations for those movies are generally not as correlated with nominations for Best Picture and many other.
True.
When you look at like the movies that get nominated for Best Picture and Best Director and Screenplay and Actor,
mm-hmm.
that happens a lot more than Best Picture and Best Director and Best Screenplay and Best Actress. Those are often the kind of the only nominations or the only top line nominations for a movie is the actress categories.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that's the case on both of these. So
probably, yeah.
All I could think of was, okay, what real life individuals have Annette Bening and Kristen Stewart recently played? And I tried visualizing, like I tried thinking of, okay, think of Annette Bening in what is probably a period costume of some kind.
Mm.
And nothing really floated to mind. And then I thought of, okay, Kristen Stewart in kind of a period costume, and bang, it immediately jumped in. Oh, I can see her wearing a very 80s gown sort of thing because she played Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what the Annette Bening was, but I figured, yeah, there's got to be another Diana out there. You know, it's not a... It's not a unique first name for a woman, especially in the latter half of the 20th century. There were a fair number of them.
Right.
So, but I was just dead certain that Kristen Stewart was at least nominated for an Academy Award for playing Princess Diana, former Princess of Wales. So I said, Diana.
This is where I chime in and say, I had a very similar thought process. Interestingly, my visualization part of it, like that's what I did my first read of the question, went, ugh, and then took the walk and came back to it and it clicked a little more because Kristen Stewart in particular, like Annette Bening is at that stage of her career where she's not like appearing on SNL to remind me of her mm-hmm. existence.
Yeah.
But Kay Stu is, and so, or has in, you know, the mm-hmm. past several years. And so I can picture her very well. And really what I kind of did is picture what I, you know, kind of could see her in as a recent role. And I could picture her with not so much the gown, but like the hairstyling and makeup of Princess Diana. And then it kind of clicked. I was like, I think she played Princess Diana. Yeah, I think that sounds right and is certainly the type of thing where, you know, it is going to be probably a more common name. It's, you know, we're not going to be asked to, there's not going to be two characters named Ermengarde that, you know, are going to be on this list for obscure, you know, barely seen art movies that, right. you know, get a Best Actress nomination. And so once that kind of clicked into place, I thought, is it at least plausible that Annette Bening played someone named Diana? Sure. And I didn't go look up after the fact, like, what this movie actually was that she was nominated for. I probably have heard of it, but I don't happen to know. But Kristen Stewart and Princess Diana, my only qualm was, like, was that as far back as 2021? It felt a little more recent, especially because that was still a pretty big pandemic kind of year, and I couldn't recall what was getting made and what was coming out and actually being seen, and it felt like that had come out later for some reason, but that wasn't enough to deter me because A, what the heck else was I going to go with? and B, the, you know, like you said, the imagery kind of fit together. I can mm-hmm, picture mm-hmm. her looking like Diana, and so that's what I went with.
And that was correct.
It was indeed.
Which means you beard it.
What a happy day.
Good job. I got 5. Which,
Yeah, I mean,
I can be happy with it. It drags up my average for the for this season. So
sure. Yeah.
The Annette Bening role was Diana Nyad, the long distance swimmer.
Yeah.
Whose long distance swimming has been called into question recently.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I encourage you to Google it and read some of the stories and form your own opinions about what's all going on there. So
okay,
yeah, it's fun.
on that slightly odd note, yeah.
And of course, Google Princess Diana and read everything you find there, because that is definitely going to make your whole day.
Oh gosh, yeah, no, that. Really, there's only one thing that has made my whole day, which is getting all the questions right today.
Indeed.
Because I've had a few days in a row now where I was pretty subpar, and so I feel swung back a little bit, and broken that little dry spell. So that was a nice boost for my day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of nice because parts of my day were a little rocky at times. But then I could remember, hey, at least I beard it. And that's pretty cool. And on a day that I really didn't expect to, and pulled some good answers that I, you know, took a flyer on and pulled them out. So yay for that.
Yeah. Well, that is it for today. Tune in tomorrow for more post-game analysis. Follow us on Blue Sky @LearnedLag, now with all the vowels. And remember,
don't forfeit.
Don't cheat.